Well, good morning, church. It is a beautiful day to be back in the house of God. Amen. It has been, I missed y'all. I missed a birthday, I hear. I will have to repent for that for another year, I understand. But next year, I got you, brother. My apologies for being gone. I enjoyed keeping tabs on the worship services, the first and the last Sundays. And just beautiful to watch the church worshiping. So I hate that we're gone for an extended period of time, but thank you for the chance to do so. We had a good trip. So rested and ready, as they say. Announcements. Let's talk about a few things going on. The first one is online prayer requests. If you are online, and those several are, please send your prayer request to JenkinsPrayer@gmail.com, and we'll make sure that those are in the worship service. We'll have a prayer for the people. So make sure you get those into us. We want to make sure we're praying for you. And everybody here, if you want to do it that way, you're welcome to. We got Jenkins Kids with Suzanne and Amy. And if little ones come in, Liz and Joy have got it. So cabinets for sale. Man, they look good. I got video while we were gone. Thank you for that. They look fantastic. So I understand we got three cabinets, and they're in the gym. Is that right?
Yeah, we got three of the older toy cabinets for sale. They're on the back wall. Buy one, buy two, buy three.
Get a hold of Steve and get it done, right?
Yeah.
Thank
Otherwise,
you, Steve.
If we don't hear anything in the next week from anybody, we'll put them out to the public.
Perfect. Yep. So if you want them, grab them. If not, we'll put them out to the public. Young adults, is Liz here? Liz is not here. Young adults, Saturday, July 26th, 11:30 in the gym, cookout and games. So we'll get everybody together and have a good time for that. So let everybody know that we're going to do that on July 26th. Jenkins Day School Summer Session, if you are looking for who's in the building, this is the times, Tuesday through Thursday, we'll have the day school session, and we'll have staff in the building in those times as well. So that's kind of how you know what's going on in the church. Food pantry, there's a list out on the bulletin board. I haven't seen it today. There are things on it, I believe, and I'm going to be needing to take something today to someone after church who is in need. So we have our food pantry, and it's a great way to do stuff in the churches to make sure you're taking care and helping you fill it out. Church camps are coming up from 2 through 12. If you know any little ones that are interested or older ones that are interested, you can look on the, I believe it's in the bulletin for the dates, if I am correct. So, if anybody's interested in that, make sure you contact Liz for more information. And I think that's it. Is there anything else going on in the life of the church? Anything else going on we need to talk about?
Somebody has a birthday tomorrow.
Whose birthday is tomorrow? Who is it?
Your bad.
Who's my buddy? I got a bunch of buddies.
Casey.
Where's Casey?
He's in the
back. Hey, Casey.
He'll be four.
Are you going to be 15 tomorrow?
I'm 4.
4 years old. Happy birthday, little man.
Happy birthday.
How in the world has that happened already? Fantastic. Yes, sir. I'm glad I'm back too. Missed you, brother. Missed you. I beat you to the punch this morning. Every time I pick Michael up and bring him, he asked me before I get out of the car, you got everything you need? It's the running joke, and I beat him to it this morning. So good to have you back, brother. If there are no other announcements, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Thank you. Please rise for our call to worship. Real quick, how long have y'all been at the church now? You know, Whitney, you all, how long have y'all been at the church now? Ballpark me. 5 years since Shayla was young, much younger. He's grown. Watching Shayla and little man right here, Kason, do that is such a metaphor for watching each other grow in our ability to serve in a church. We've watched Shayler learning all these things and becoming a servant of the church. Now we're watching Kason learn all these things, a little thing, like you got to lift the back of it up to get the tip of just the little things. Might we all take inspiration from that, recognizing that we too can still learn how to serve in the church? Follow their lead. The church is not theirs in the future. The church is theirs now. Let's follow those kids in their education and how we learn how to serve one another. This is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are humans that you're mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we do wonder what in the world you would have to do with us. You are this sovereign God. You are this divine, this immaculate, this glory and power. And here we are running around doing all the things that we do. And you care for us. And you love us. And you try to find ways to bind and bond with us. And you teach us to do that with one another. And it's just amazing, God, that you would be this way. And so then we turn to you in worship. We recognize that this awesome God does care for us. This wonderful God does look down and see us and lift us and care for us and love us. And so because of that, what do we do other than worship, Lord? What do we do other than come to you and say, you are our God, we love you, and because of that, we're going to live out your will. Thank you, God, for allowing us to worship in this place, because we see how much you care for your world. And God's people said, amen.
Turn to page 271 or look at the screen. Standing on the promises.
Glory in the highest, I shall shout and sing. Standing on the
Interesting. I filled this out 5 weeks ago, and I don't remember what I had to say about the scripture of assurance. One time, Philip and I went to a church, and a woman was doing the children's sermon, and Philip was about 15, too old for a children's sermon, and they had him sit there. They brought a chair out, a big chair, had sit up front, and then she started to read something, and she walked back and forth, had, Lord, have me something to say, and I've never seen my child so nervous about what was about to be said to him. I feel like this now, John 16, 12 through 14. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Church, I don't know what to say about that at all until I realize the moment that this is what we do all the time, declaring to one another these truths, these rights, and these goodnesses, and that's why we gather together and why I'm thrilled to be back in this place. We talk to one another about what is good and what is right, and then we go and try to live those out together in the name of God. Let's sing again.
Bench 382.
Little ones, if y'all want to go with Amy and Okay, from the back, I can no longer tell y'all apart. Okay, gotcha, Mary and Suzanne. Off into the races. I wish I had that much energy one more day in my life, you know? Thank you for your continued kind gifts to the church. I want to thank some folks specifically for helping out this past week. Well, I'm not going to name everybody's name, so I'm going to forget somebody, and I don't want to do that. But for all those who helped out with Burrito Ministry the last 4 weeks, thank you for doing so. It was a huge help to keep that going and running, and people are counting on that food on Thursday nights. And, man, thank you all for doing that and for everything else that's been going on. I've been getting the group texts and keeping tabs on everything. So thank you for all you do for the church. If you desire to give to the church your money and funds, these are the ways to do it. You get the box in the back, or you can send cash or check to the address, or donate along lines at jenkinscp.org. But thank you in whatever way you choose to give. This afternoon, as I said, I have a young man and a couple that have a very difficult living situation with family. They can't live with family, but they can't leave family alone because there's a grandma involved that's struggling and nobody's giving her help. And when they go back, it's all kinds of tension and this, that, and the other. And they don't have any food, living in the car right now, going back and forth. And we get to take them food today because of what you all do. And so thank you for allowing us to help others through your gifts. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the privileges that we have. We have been given so much in whatever way and for whatever reason. And we thank you, God, that you call us into recognizing that, and that we can share with one another and give to one another and do so in such a way that we draw attention to your kingdom. We thank you, God, that this young man I want to go see, he knows what this church does. He knows who I am, and he reaches out because he needs just that person to talk to and to help out. And we thank you, God, that this is a beacon of hope for him. And for his partner in these days. So we ask, God, that you bless the two of them, their families, and we ask that you bless in whatever way us by reminding us that it is so good to give to one another. We ask then also that you give to us in this time of the Word. We ask that you open up the Word to us, allow it to mean more than it could ever meant without your Spirit. And allow it to be such that my words mean absolutely nothing and fall silent if they are not of you. We ask this in your name. And God's people said, I was told already that some of the preachers before me preached a little shorter. I've been gone a month. Someone said it's a little bit like a soda can. The preacher, when he hadn't preached for a month, that we might open it and just get shaken up, and he preaches for an hour. So don't blame me. I don't mean I can't do that. I'll go shorter. I'm going to wait on the scripture for just a moment. It's from Exodus 23. Hold it there. I'll get to it in a minute, I think. But at the sake of telling vacation stories, I got to tell a couple. I like people. I like people generally. There's always the excuse to that rule. But I love people, and one of the things I love most about people is I just love talking to people. Philip said one time when we left the line of a Kroger and I had struck up a conversation with whoever was in front of me, he goes, Dad, you can talk to anybody. I can, because people are fascinating to me. Due to your grace and care the last month, I have gotten to talk to people all over the world, and it's been just fascinating. Thursday night, on the way back, I talked to a woman in the Uber on the way back from the airport. She's from Colombia, here in town, not the other one, just south of us. She's from Colombia, and she's a single mom. She has two kids, a 10-year-old who is all boy, apparently, and a little girl, maybe three or something, that is just as precious as can be. They're in difference in night and day. And she's driving Uber because she's trying to make a life for them and for herself. She graduated high school, dealt with all the life she had to deal with, and then she said, I want to go back to being a nurse. I want to go do that. And so she's trying to build up enough money driving Uber that she can make a living. But she can't make a living anymore driving Uber because they've dropped the prices so much for the drivers that she doesn't know what she's going to do. She said she can't hardly deal with living in Colombia anymore because the price of living has gone up there just dramatically. two kids at home and Uber not paying what it once did, I worry that she's going to have a chance to do what she's called to do, what she feels like she wants to do. And it just hurt to watch it. But she had a Bible there in the map pocket in the back seat. I didn't look to see how worn it was. I forgot to look. I was too busy talking about life. But one of the things that came through is how she just wants goodness in this world. Man, that's it for her, for her kids, for others. It was beautiful. But another cab driver, this one several weeks ago, this fellow was a Muslim. He was a practicing Muslim too. His mother and father had moved him and his siblings from Pakistan to Barcelona, and they did so without telling anybody. They packed up all their stuff, a bunch of their stuff, and they told their family that they were going to be just going to visit a family and part of their family in some other little town. They went to the airport and took a plane and were gone, man. They left and didn't come back. His siblings came with him. They're married, and they moved off. He got married, has a kid. And he takes care of mom and dad, lives in the house, takes care of mom and dad and the family on a taxi salary in Barcelona. Can you imagine? I guess you can do that there. It must be nice. Took a ride to the airport with him to pick up a rental car, and I told him about my life and for about 20 minutes, and he told me about his. And one of the things is that we learned that we wanted the same things, man. We both wanted the same things for our life, for ourselves and for others. We just wanted good in this world. It's what we wanted. That's it. Just good. We wanted peace. Both wanted people to matter. And not powers to matter, but really people to matter. I saw our French friends, Eddie and Jesus and their families. They've been here. Some of y'all remember them. It's weird. They are absolute atheists, and they cannot figure out why in the world I talk about some of the things that I talk about. And yet they respect me anyway. They're French. They don't know any better. That's what I tell them. It's interesting that they all start from a very different place than Suzanne and I and the boys, and yet we end up at the very close to the same place in how we think about things and how we think about people. We hug tight when we meet, man, and we talk and we talk and we talk, and we hug real tight when we leave. And we do all this because we all just want the same thing, goodness in this world, care and love and concern for one another. By the way, did you know I have a French cartoon about my kidney stone? It's a true story. If you hadn't heard this one, let me know. I got a French cartoon about my kidney stone because of these guys. It is fantastic. We saw Ishu. He's my way younger brother from another mother. He's Philip's age. It's so weird to have him as such a friend. His name is Ishu in his tribal language. He's from Morocco. Yusuf is his Arabic name. Either way, it's the same name as what Jesus had. Figure that one out. It's kind of weird. He's not Christian. He's culturally Muslim. He doesn't practice. He doesn't pray. His mama tells him he should, but he doesn't. But he still fasts. He still goes to all the feasts and that sort of thing. I love that dude. Ishu is just a good human being. All you got to do is see his smile to know that. He wants nothing in this world except goodness. He is so slick when he gives the money to people on the streets. Am I right? You saw him do it a couple of times. Gracie was nodding. He's so slick. You never see him giving money, but he just slips money to these people on the streets all the time because he just cares. We saw Hajar, another biblical name, Hagar, from our scriptures. She walked us through the Medina and Fez, Morocco, and if you have a chance to go, it is incredible. And she taught us about the art of the mosaics, and we talked about her trip to New York last year, and she and Suzanne bonded over their love of Marshalls. Don't know anything about it, but apparently it's a good thing. We ate green bean soup from a local type shop deep in the heart of the old city's alleyways, and I was waiting to get sick, but didn't because it was wonderful, and we're going to now learn how to make green bean soup. Hajar is the most read person I think I've ever known. One of those philosophy types that she knows a little bit about everything, and I know I'm a pretty learned individual, and yet I'm embarrassed because every time she talks about something, I have no clue what in the world she's talking about. I just know it's brilliant. And the one thing we know about her is she's good. She's one of the good people in this world, man. Maybe she'll come here soon. She's got her visa. She's talking about her coming here with her fiance and with Ishu. And you'll see if she comes here how smart she is, man. And she's amazing to talk to. I'm going to tell you all about it later. It's good stuff. I met one guy and we didn't say a word. We were in Morocco during a feast, and Ishu didn't go home for the feast like he normally does. He hung out with us. We felt very guilty because he always goes home with his family for the feasts, and his brother was at home and some others, and so we had to get on the FaceTime one time so we could see the mom and dad. He's the feast is the one celebrates that the ram was given to Abraham during the sacrifice. And so this story, of course, is in the Quran too. And so that's the one that they were doing. And he couldn't go back home, and we all felt guilty. So we decided what we'd do is grab a bunch of food and go up in the mountains for a picnic. And that way, Ishu didn't feel like he was, you know, not the same, but he was kind of hanging out with us. And as we were up there, there's this huge valley, and there was a sheep, a herd of sheep in it, and there was a shepherd that was watching them. Well, I walked out because I wanted to see it, and a dog ran over and checked me out, and then two other dogs came over, and they were just kind of messing around. We fed them, and it was just gorgeous, and these clouds moved in, and the shepherd moved his sheep off the hill and down into the valley a little bit, and it was just, I was one of those moments where they had given me such a treat and just be able to watch this while I ate olives and whatever else. So at one point I realized that he'd given me so much, I wanted to give a little bit back to this shepherd that was out there. And so I made up a bag of our stuff, and I got a cold water, and I just started walking out. It's probably, I don't know, a few hundred yards out there. And so as I'm walking out, he sees me, and he starts walking the other way. And I don't know any of his languages, and he doesn't know English. But all I had to do was just nod, and he nodded, and I just motioned. And we shared this meal, or just gave it to him. And he smiled real big, and I smiled real big, and I realized that Prague guy and I probably think about the world a little bit the same too. We just want to share good food with one another, man. Have a smile. Just a good life. So as I'm talking to all these people, I say all this to say it got me thinking. Those good people all sort of wanted the same thing as I did, a peaceful life, not just for them, but for others as well. You know, often others, they didn't even know. They wanted to talk about good things. And of course, that sometimes comes with identifying some bad things in this world, but the bad things always seem to be the powers of the world and not the people themselves. And that got me to thinking, how did we get there to that same spot? I thought I was supposed to be drastically different. What do those things, or why do those things seem important to me at all? Why does any of that matter? And after pondering way too many hours and way too many airports, I finally traced back my thoughts on the thing I was curious about, and it's this. I don't know where all those other people get their thoughts from. I don't know where they get their beliefs. I don't understand where they get their theologies and their ideologies about this world. I don't understand it, and I don't know. But I felt certain that I needed to make sure that I had my thoughts correct in it. In the midst of seeing this, I recognize I need to make sure that I took a good inventory on my thoughts and why I believe things are good and right. I had to have a reason, and I don't know that I necessarily had one real good. And I asked myself, what might be the reason that I need to be this way? What's the reason I need to? Is it because Jesus just said so? Is it the fear of hell? Is it the reward and promise of heaven? So I thought about it. I realize if I'm going to continue to try to find my way in the world, one that's good, one that I can stick to when it's hard to stick to things, and one that carries that weight of such a beautiful and a good life, then really I need to get back to the place that I can understand exactly why I did it. And it took me back to rule number one. Exodus 23. As you're able, if you would. Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Might think odd when I'm talking about what I was talking about, but I have to go and lead up to this phrase. Moses didn't give that first one out and not give a reason to it. What it says right before this number one rule is, I'm the one that got you out of Egypt. I'm the one that saved you. I'm the one that got you through all that stuff, your captivity in Egypt. That's what Moses wrote that God had done about such things. I had rescued you. I took you out of confinement and I gave you freedom. And so therefore, don't have any other gods in front of me. No other gods before me. Two things. First is, I don't know the freedom he was talking about when slavery was first. That's what he was talking about. He took slaves out of Egypt, and I don't know what that is like, but I do feel like as God has freed me from some things. Like a friend of mine said one time, when she laid into somebody giving her grief, God might have rescued 95% of her, 5% is God still working on. I feel like that a lot of time. In fact, those numbers may be a little bit off for me. That's what I'm getting at. But the part that has been this is, I do owe God for rescuing me. Truth is, if I'm serious, and I believe God changed me for a better life, the better for myself, and the better for others, and the better for this world, then do not I owe God everything for that? For a long part of my life, I did not care about people. I drew lines in this world between people. I highlighted the differences in this world about people, and I chose some based on those highlights, and I dismissed others. I chose sides that I promise you God and Jesus did not side on. I laughed at people. I was hateful, and I had bloodlust. Oh, that's good, man. Oh, that's good. That's what I'm talking about. But I did. I was hateful. I had bloodlust. I laughed at others. I didn't care for their lives. I was a product of this world. And in one stark moment of salvation, one when I was already in seminary, when I was studying about what God says about my enemies, I realized that following God meant removing gods from my life that separated between me and God's creation. I had to get rid of them. And that's what I realized in one stark moment when I was convicted by God. I was rescued from at least some of that which enslaved me to a sin of hate and apathy and uncaring and dismissiveness. And it just wasn't right, man. And because of that, I suppose God does have the right to say to me, if I did that to you, if I took that away, if I gave you freedom from that, and brother, you have no other gods before me. Why would you? Look what I've done for you already. That brings up the second question for us all. We ought to think about this one. Can you name what you've been rescued from? Can you name it? Can we name that thing that was taken away from us and we were delivered from? Can we name it? Can we name what we've been saved from? If you've been enslaved to something, maybe, usually, I believe, we don't even know what that thing is that we were enslaved to until we're freed from it, but can we name it? God made them name it in Exodus, made the Jews name it. The book's even called Exodus. I exited you from Egypt, and therefore, but can we name our Exodus? If not, then why do we do what we do? I mean, if we can't name it, what we've been rescued, then why are we doing anything that we're doing? How do we know we're doing it the way God wants things done if we really hadn't thought about what God's done for us already? How do we ever stick to it if we don't know how God stuck to us? And I don't mean just saying it. I mean knowing it, being able to list it out. How has God changed me? That was the problem in Exodus and forever after. People kept forgetting. We got to remember, man. We often explain what God's done to us by saying God saved us from death. That's a pretty solid reason. I'll go with that one too. But it cannot end there with the physical death. That's cheap grace if it ends there. Bonhoeffer said that. He called it cheap grace if that's all we're looking for. That's a grace without sacrifice. That's a grace without giving. That's a grace for tomorrow. And I'm not worried about grace that needs to be given today. That's a grace that we take and one that we do not give away. And we got to remember that there are all kinds of deaths other than a physical death. Spiritual, mental, emotional. Physical is the last one. If it's death, it's the death of us and others in all the other ways that we must be saved from. And can we name them? Maybe we say that we're saved from evils that we were tired of doing anyway. I hear this all the time. People get busted for what they're doing, and then they get repentant for it. They'll be thankful that Jesus saved them. We need to be saved from them. But salvation also means being saved from the world's ways in ways that we would just soon not be rescued from. How often does that happen? Someone's drowning, and you have them, and you push you away. Or grab a hold and don't let you get rescued. False gods are like those. They're not the ones we hate. False gods are the ones we like the most. It's who defines us in this life. And we like those other gods. We like them a lot. We humans have always loved other gods. And that's why Jesus in those three temptations he went through were so important. False gods are those that define reality for us. And they make it look so good. They make it look so tasty. They make it look exactly right. And do we dare let them go? And then there's this too. We can't be so self-centered in our faith that we think our salvation is the only way it's experienced. Many have been saved in this world. Many have been rescued. Many have been called into the family of God. And too often, Christians have been reluctant to see others' salvations of God in ways that we don't necessarily understand. But, you know, I bet the Jews say the same thing about us. Like, what do you mean you were rescued from your sins? We were rescued from enslavement. And so how do you compare those two things and put them together? You can't. You have to learn from the other. We have an individual faith. Man, we got an individual faith. But too often we tend to think our version is the best, and that is a dangerous place to exist. Can we listen to other people and their stories of being rescued? Can we hear it? Can we accept it? Can we find God that way? If we love people as much as we love ourselves, it should not be that hard. But oh, it's hard to hear somebody else's understandings of who God is and who Jesus is. But let's say that we do know that what God has done for us. I assume that is the benefit of most of us in this room. I get it. But what does it mean, have no other gods before me? If you understand what God has done and you read that first and you say, that means that I am to have no other gods before me. Do we know what that line means? I'm not so sure we do. That's me, the contrarian. I'm sure you're shocked. There's a meaning to this phrase that it's not exactly what we hear. The issue is that when you hear the phrase, or I hear the phrase, they have no other gods before me, don't put God number two. Put God number one. And if we got to list some other things after that, we can. It becomes almost a ranking, a list of things. Problem is, that ain't the way it works in God's kingdom. Think of it like this. It's not about a ranking, it's about fidelity. Think of it like a wedding day. You only get one spouse that day, and the exes best not show up at the wedding. Amen? Don't be doing that. I used to drive limos. Every time in limos, it was almost the same thing. At a wedding, we'd sit in the front. Somebody else would tend the doors. After all day of being in the wedding and the party afterwards, the back doors would open. The bride and groom would get in. They'd shut the doors, and inevitably, this was what would happen. They'd look at each other and go, and smile. Because they're done with the day, right? We know this feeling. Unless you have the group that Michael Ritchie had one time. They were fine and dandy until the door closed, and that's when the new wife lit in on that man up one side and down the other, wore him out all the way to the hotel, because guess who'd shown up but an ex? If you got anybody there the day... A woman the other day that you loved, it better be mama and grandmama, you know? There better not be any exes watching. If you go to the original language, the words actually means, you will have no other gods before my face. You will have no other gods before my face. And that sounds good, but I'm gonna need to talk for a second about what it means about the face of God. Tell me, Moses, about the face of God. Tell me how you had to hide in the cleft of that rock and not look to God until you could see the backside, because you can't look at his face. Tell me about how every time you had an encounter with God, you had to come down the mountain with a veil on because people couldn't handle what they were seeing and it was just a reflection of God. Tell me about those if you're talking about the face of God. Isaiah, tell me about it. how you were terrified when you saw the face of God. Tell me, Jacob, what you saw after you fought with God all night long and brother developed a limp afterwards that never went away. Tell me about Stephen and what he saw when he saw Jesus at the right hand of God the very moment before he was martyred. Exodus 33 says, "You cannot see my face, for if you see my face, you cannot live." Unless we see Jesus' face, thank God for the humanity of Christ. You will have no other gods ahead of my face. I don't know what gods I might still have laying around, but maybe you ought to think on that, huh? Maybe when certain things happen, you know, others wouldn't be as they are, and that's just paranoid thinking, or I don't know what makes other people them, though I like hearing what people have to say about their lives. I don't know what makes people click, but I do know one thing. I do know what God has done for me. I do know what God has done for me. And while I find it hard talking about enslavement, because I have never been enslaved, I have been freed in some ways. I got some more to go, man, but I have been freed, and I know it. If what might happen to the glory of God if I quit hiding those other gods in my back pocket, or if I took them out of the places they exist, or if I let God see them, what might happen if I expose those gods that I have tucked away and hidden away, ones that make rules for me? That's what gods do. Gods make rules for our lives. They're what give us a reason to do what we do. And all we need to do is let them be destroyed by simply allowing God to see them. Pull them out. Make sure God knows they're there, and let them be destroyed by God's presence. Maybe it would help me to continue in this world if I did that, trying to find goodness and trying to find love and trying to find peace and grace and mercy and all that good stuff like I want to do so bad. If I could let God just take the rest of those false idols and destroy them for me like He did last time, how might I see God then? How might I see my neighbor? And that for us, with the one who rescued me thus far, and if I believe that true, I must have no other gods before me. Church, this world is getting weird, y'all. I don't care which side of what we stand on, we can agree on that much. It's getting weird. The protests, turmoil, angst, assassinations a couple days ago. There's a nasty war brewing in the Middle East. I blame our church about the Middle East if we didn't know better. We were planning on a trip, remember? And I guess they didn't want us to come, so I've been fighting for 3 years since. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in our world today. And I guess in such a moment, it's good to make sure that I do an inventory of my life and make sure I got my God, the other gods dismissed, and as much as I'm broken, to let God do it again and again to me. I ought to do my best if I know what God's done for me. I must have no other gods. None, not one. Not that one that I don't think is a god, but I still call godly. Not those gods that violate a whole different one of the ten, which is the one about don't take my name in vain. Not that God that I don't even think about, but is still there guiding my principles. And not the God of grace that only gives grace in particular situations, because that's a God too, not giving in every situation. For here's what I know, and I know it in a world of uncertainty. When the nobody saints are still under the altar screaming, "How long, Lord, how long?" And when God rests judgments on the world today and tomorrow and at the end of days, I want my gods exposed, gone, dismissed from my life, no matter what it might do to me, and it might completely change me once again. Wouldn't that just be the best if it did? And then, maybe then, maybe God will show me as a harbinger of peace when violence draws down again in this world. Maybe God will be patience in me in a day when tempers continue to grow hotter and hotter and hotter. Might we be God's kindness through though harshness is the prayer to the false gods, might we be the one that brings kindness. Maybe God will hope through us when despair draws near. Maybe somebody will be welcomed in God's name when fear has shut doors on them right and left. Maybe we can be God's truth when lies enslave those people who listen. God may just show courage through action when silence is always safest. God might just be a flicker of fire in us when the world's winds blow cold, and may God be strengthen us to follow God's will and be that to the glory of God until the end draws near too. For if we have but one God who saved us the first time, may we give up all of our gods that we hide against that God all the time, and then may we live through Jesus Christ and God in the flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit, having no other gods ever with us again. Let's go expose those gods we got left, man. Let's expose them. Let's show the ones that we have in us. Go home and write them down if you need to. Think through life and figure out who's directing your path in those times when it's not the grace of Christ. And then give those to the one true God that you might be saved again and again and again and again. Let us have no other gods ever. Because if nothing else, brother, I know what God's done for me. And God's people said, amen. Our final song this morning is Victory in Jesus. Church, we have it. Let us speak of it. Would you rise and sing, number 473.
To see, and then I cried, dear.
Yes, I agree, young man. Exactly. 100%. Online, we had a couple of prayer requests from mom. These were too tragic. The family of Chet Dixon. Chet has been a very influential and generous giver in the CP Church, to Bethel, to our seminary. He and his wife went, were off on a boat. He dove in, and then at one point he went down and did not come back up. She jumped in, tried to rescue him. The boat got away. 4 or 5 hours later, somebody came and rescued her from clinging to a tree. It has been a horrible, horrible thing, and a heartbreaking loss for the family, for our denomination. It's been awful. Also, the family of Dot Dobbins. This is, the attorney and daughter of late Reverend C. Ray Dobbins, a famous man in our denomination. She was walking the dog and was hit and killed by a car. So please be in prayer for both of those families. Just awful. From Darlene, prayers for my sister-in-law, Robin, and for my friend, Tammy. Please keep those in your prayers. I'll ask prayers for our denomination. We start our yearly General Assembly meetings in Knoxville in the morning, so I get to go and chair the Committee on Theology and Social Concerns a little bit jet-lagged, so we'll see how that goes. So please be in prayer for our denomination. And then please be in prayer for Philip. He has had a run of it with a cold since getting back. So please be in prayer for him. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yes, sir.
My mom broke and
delayed
upcoming surgery.
She got surgery upcoming?
Stand by.
Exactly. Prayers for Whitney's mom, yeah. Are there others this morning we need to be in prayer for?
I have a new nephew.
Yay!
Connor Kenneth Leaptrot, and he was born on Monday. That's my younger brother's first.
Yay!
So remember them.
Absolutely right. Exactly. Connor Kenneth Leaptrot. You got to live up to that name. That's a good one. Are there others that we need to be in prayer or praise for? Anybody else? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we turn to you in these times as an understanding that we are out of control in this world, Lord. Absolutely out of control. Go and do this or that, and life is suddenly cut short for people in a moment when they were having good. And then you have others, these moments when these things go perfectly and wonderful. There's a new baby in this world, and it's just... it's so complicated, God, to recognize that the control is just not what we hoped it would be. And yet we have you, our God, to lean on. And so for these that are in difficult situations, Lord, we ask for blessings somehow to fall upon them, comfort and the right person to call, and whatever it is, Lord, that lifts a countenance in a moment when it can't feel like it's any lower. We ask that for all those in difficult situations. For those who have had the blessings of health and babies, we ask for a strength that, whew, new parenting is not easy. And yet it's such a joy, and we ask it to be a joy for the family. We ask all of these situations for goodness to happen, because that's what the whole world wants. Lord, you've made that somehow, it has become a fabric of all humanity that we want goodness. And you, God, when we dismiss everything else, can show us that beauty like none other. And so we ask you, God, to show us goodness even in the darkest times for some. And the beautiful times remind us again and again how tomorrow will be beautiful too, because you are the risen Lord. We ask all of this, Lord, through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please stand for the benediction? Go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, and go in mercy. And go that way because we have one God. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you and never from one another. And God's people said, amen. Y'all gotta hang on a second. We gotta have. You good? All right. You got it? There you go. Have at it, brother. We'll follow him out.